Lord, these are difficult words that we have heard this morning. Help us to understand your will and your grace and your love, even in these words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a 6-syllable word that I want you to repeat after me. Septuagesima. That was pretty good. Last week, when I went into the sacristy early on Sunday morning, that word was posted in at least 3 places. You never really know what people are up to around here. But the fact is that last Sunday was Septuagesima Sunday and the beginning of the season of Septuagesima. So let me ask you, are you any further enlightened than you were a moment ago? No. Well, according to the Catholic Herald, Septuagesima Sunday is the 3rd Sunday before Ash Wednesday, which is approximately 70 days before Easter, and begins a season lasting until Ash Wednesday in which we prepare for Lent. Now, this is a tradition that is not commonly celebrated in the Episcopal Church, but what does happen every year in our tradition is that the readings assigned for these Sundays leading up to Ash Wednesday begin deliberately pointing us toward Lent. Every year, these readings map out God's hopes and dreams for how we treat one another, and at the same time give a pretty blunt picture to us of how we do not do so. So every year they give us an opportunity to say, oh yeah, there are things in my life and in this world that need my attention. Ecclesiasticus reminds us that every day we have choices. Choices between what is life-giving and life-diminishing. And God has not given us permission to do anything but model our lives after the commandments that God has given. And just in case we aren't clear, the Gospel of Matthew tells us about Jesus raising the bar. If you are angry with someone, or insult them, or call them names, it's no less troubling to God than if you murdered them. If you look lustfully at someone, it's as damaging to you and to them as if you had committed adultery. These standards Jesus sets are all about how we treat one another and how we treat ourselves in the process. The commandments of God, when followed, are a formula that creates a world in which every single person is cherished and treated as the beloved child of God. Anything short of that is short of God's vision for the world. So the readings leading up to Ash Wednesday urge us to begin thinking about what Lent might hold for us by way of life transformation. As the Catholic Herald suggests, in practical terms, pre-Lent gives us a chance to ease into our Lenten discipline. The important season starts us to thinking about what we are going to do during Lent, well before Lent and not the day after Ash Wednesday. How did they know about that? We might think of pre-Lent as a time to map out what Lent's journey is going to look like. That way, when Ash Wednesday rolls around, we are ready with a plan in hand, and we can hit the ground running. End of quote. When we choose practices to take on or to give up during Lent, what is the purpose of doing that? What is the goal? I want to suggest that we think about the goal of Lent like this. Joseph Cook, a Methodist pastor in the late 1700s, said, "Grace is nothing more or less than the face that love wears when it meets with imperfection, weakness, failure, or sin." Grace is what God does when God reaches out in love, sinful as we are, and welcomes us into relationship with God's self. End of quote. Easter is the ultimate example of God's grace and love for us. Jesus' death and resurrection are the pinnacle of God's grace and love for the whole world. So the question to ask ourselves when thinking about a Lenten practice is, what can I do during the 6.5 weeks of Lent that will open me more to receiving the grace and love of God? And what can I do during the 6.5 weeks of Lent that will open me more to sharing the grace and the love of God? I have put together a little handout that I think you have in your hands. Yes? Did you get it? Anybody want to put your hand up if you didn't get one, and the ushers can bring it to you. This is really, the purpose of this really is just to prime the pump, to give us something to chew on in the next couple of weeks as we think about how we will invest in the season of Lent. And I want to just read through it for you. First, begin by prayerfully asking that question. What can I do during Lent that will open me more to receiving the grace and love of God and will open me more to sharing the grace and love of God? And then consider one of the following, just one. And these are examples. Something else may come to mind as you pray over this. Make a list of those you have not been able to forgive. Ask God's help in forgiving. Or choose one person with whom you disagree, and without telling them, pray for them every day to experience joy, loving kindness, and God's grace and love. Or choose a reality of the world that is particularly disturbing to you. Learn more about it and pray about it daily. Consider reading the following resources: How to Fight Anti-Semitism by Barry Weiss, or How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram H. Kendi. Or use resources revealing someone's experience or perspective that is unlike yours. Examples are I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness by Austin Channing Brown, or a Lent devotional that is at the HumanRightsCommission.org, affirming the experience of LGBTQ people of faith. Or learn about a hot topic in the world today and prayerfully consider, to what extent does this reflect the commandments of God? Examples might be human trafficking, the conflict in Israel-Palestine, refugees, immigration. This one is, like, really diverse. Or commit to reducing your consumption of single-use plastic as a way of caring for generations yet to come. Check out the blog at earthhero.com. Or explore new ways to recycle at terracycle.com. Or get involved at the rescue mission or Auburn Soup Kitchen and witness firsthand the local realities of poverty. Today and next Sunday and Ash Wednesday, we will continue to hear readings that will help us consider how far short we are of knowing and living God's grace and love in our daily lives. This time leading up to Lent and the season of Lent itself are a gift. They're a gift that is given to open us to a more expansive experience of God's goodness and affection toward us. And they're a gift that is given to open the door for that goodness and affection to be spread abroad in the world more and more.